A good friend sent me an email this past week, and it was entitled, Things I Don't Really Understand. And the email had a list of questions for which there seems to be no real answers. Here were a couple of them. The first question was, why do doctors and lawyers call what they do practice? Second one was, why is abbreviation such a long word? You don't get it, do you? Why is it that when you're driving and looking for an address, you reach over and turn the radio down? Thanks. Why is a boxing ring square? What was the best thing before sliced bread? Thank you, Claudia. Those questions remind me that there are a lot of things in this life that I don't really understand. Let me share with you one of them. It was a note written about 20 years ago by a 12-year-old boy as a tribute to his 14-year-old brother who had just died from meningitis. Their family had been on a vacation to Italy. They traveled by train from Rome to Venice. They loved Rome, and they were just beginning to check out Venice, that lovely city, when Jeremy, the 14-year-old, became quite sick one afternoon. Jeremy had aches in all parts of his body suddenly, and he had spiked a high fever. His parents assumed that he had some sort of flu, so they thought the best thing to do was to bring him to the emergency room of the hospital in Venice. 24 hours later, Jeremy died. When the family returned home to the U.S., the younger brother, whose name was Daniel, wrote these words about his brother, which he titled, My Brother Was Only 14. Daniel wrote, My brother had brown hair. He was very tall. He was my only brother. He would play basketball with me. And even though he always won, I loved him. He was someone I could talk to. Then on February 6th, in Venice, he died. He was my only brother. The one I hoped to go backpacking with. The one I'd like to sled with in the winter. But he died. He died because he happened to breathe in some bacteria that probably could only be seen on the best of microscopes. I guess all I can say is I loved Jeremy. I needed Jeremy. I miss Jeremy. And I don't understand. I just don't understand. I could feel Daniel's feelings when I read that, where he said, I don't understand. He couldn't understand why his older brother left him so suddenly. There are so many things in this life that I don't understand. Why are we still fighting in Afghanistan and in Syria and in Iraq? Why do good people suffer? Yeah. Why do we hurt one another? Why can't people just get along? And why do some of our most sincere prayers seem to go unanswered. What can we count on God for anyway? Well, I believe that this morning's gospel reading that the deacon just read points me toward an answer. In this gospel, Jesus tells a story about two people. One of them is an arrogant old judge. An arrogant judge. And the other is a humble, persistent woman who has come before the judge. The judge ignores the woman's pleading. She's down on her knees. He just ignores her. But finally he decides to listen to her because she is so darn persistent. And after Jesus tells this story to the people there around him, he says, if a selfish, arrogant judge, an unfeeling judge, can help someone if they ask, then how much more can God, who loves us so much, help us when we ask? Luke wants us to understand what he's talking about here in this gospel. Luke begins recording that moment there with Jesus by saying this. Jesus spoke to that crowd in a parable to show that they should keep on praying and not lose heart. They shouldn't give up. They should keep on trusting that God is hearing their prayer. When I pray every morning here at the church, I know that I'm not talking to that cement wall, that I'm not talking to a brick wall. I'm visiting with God for a few minutes. And I trust that God is leaning down, way down, to be sure he can hear me. Oh, God may not do precisely what I'm asking him in that moment, but I know, because I believe, that God is ready and willing to hear my prayer with love. God is not like the arrogant judge who just listens with a tin ear and finally gives in just to get rid of me. 10 years ago, when I was a pastor downtown at Christ Church, I was called around 10 o'clock in the morning to come to the University of Maryland Hospital to visit a little girl from the church who was there and was quite sick. Her mother had been at her bedside for 4 days, morning, noon, and night. And after I was there in the room for a few minutes, the doctor came in and asked me to come into the hallway. And he asked if I could possibly get the mother to take a break, to go home and get some rest and refuel. He said she hasn't slept in days. She's eaten almost nothing. She's emotionally and physically exhausted. Pastor, see if you can get her to go home for a while. So I went back in the room and I said to her, Melanie, the doctor now is worried about you. He thinks you need some rest. Why don't you come with me and let me take you home for a while? And you call me when it's time you've had a rest, and I'll bring you back. I've never forgotten what happened there in those moments next. Melanie looked up at me and said, what only a mother would say, Pastor, you don't really want me to leave Tomika when she is so sick, do you? Well, being a parent myself and a grandparent, of course I understood exactly what she was saying. That's when I said, I understand. I'm going to go downstairs and get you a sandwich. And I'll bring it up to you. Our God is a loving God who wants to be always there for us, always close to us, especially when we're hurting. I believe that God wants us to know that He's always near. Like Melanie wanted Tomika to know that she is right there near her. Most of you probably know what the songwriter meant. What he was saying when he wrote those old words, when you walk through the storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. Walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Well, that's the good news from this scripture, from the whole Bible. The pastor of a Baptist church down in a little town deep in Mississippi tells about a stormy night in that little town where he lived with his wife and children. Severe thunderstorms and possible tornadoes were forecast for the middle of that night. And during the night, the pastor and his family awoke to the sound of screaming tornado sirens. And the trees around their house began to snap. And other houses and barns began to be damaged. The storm tore a wide swath of damage through that town. And in the midst of the storm, the pastor gathered his wife and his three children and brought them to the basement where he thought they were safest. Well, their 10-year-old son, who's named Tim, during the worst of the storm, Tim was overheard over in the corner of the basement saying a prayer for his family as the wind whistled through the first and second floor of their house. And he ended his prayer like this. He said as a 10-year-old, "Oh God, I hope you're listening closely tonight, because this is really bad. This is really bad." Well, it may not seem like it at times, but you can trust and believe that God is really listening to you when you pray. Jesus tells us, if an arrogant judge who doesn't even fear God will give in to the pleas of a persistent woman, will not a loving God lean down near to us to hear our prayers? The prayers of those of us who put our trust in Him? Well, the answer comes right from the mouth of Jesus in this gospel. It's recorded throughout the scriptures. The answer is yes. He will lean down and listen to us. Amen.